Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, Ingredients for a Blessed Christian Marriage.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior, the husband of the church, His bride. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about Christian marriage and a strong, blessed marriage. And why? Well, of course, that's been on my mind a lot lately. My daughter Naomi, as you know, got married to Jack last Saturday, August 7th, and that was just an amazingly great experience. We are so blessed. He's a great Christian guy. And they've started their life in Christ, and they're on their way to Texas even as we speak to start their new life together there. I also have my other daughter, you know, Faith, our adopted daughter. She's getting married in 3 weeks, so I'll be also officiating at that wedding. And on top of all those, Beth and I are coming up on our 25th wedding anniversary in November, so we are planning on renewing our vows in a couple of months. And so I'm excited about all those things. And thinking about marriage, it's also the bedrock of everything. You know, God at the very beginning of creation created marriage. And a good marriage results in a stable home. The blessings of husband and wife, it blesses then also the children. It blesses the country. It blesses the church. Everything really hinges on a strong Christian marriage. And so since it is so key to absolutely everything in the world and for our help and blessing and joy, I thought I'd share with you today on a godly marriage and the things that go into it. Now, even if you're not married, these principles apply to you. You can do this with other relationships, except the intimacy part. Won't get to that anyway. And you'll also be able to do this if you are married to someone who's not a Christian. I mean, anything that we can do in these ways as God designed it is a blessing for our joy. So let's take a look then at Christian marriage today and see what God teaches us about that in His Word, the Scriptures. First of all, God teaches us in the Bible that this is a good institution. So say good. Doesn't always have that reputation in the world, but God created it so. In the beginning, He says, "It's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him." So then, as you know, out of the ground, the Lord caused every beast to be made, etc., brought them to the man to see what he would call them, but for the man there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, he took two of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh," says the Scriptures. And so we see already in this passage that this is a good institution. God created it for blessing and joy and family. And it is one where two people become one by God's power and His institution. And it's ultimately speaking here about Christ and the church, our unity and intimacy with Him. So it's good in the beginning, amen? Listen to Adam. He says, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Hooray, this is awesome. This is great." So it is good. But as we all know, marriages today can have a lot of troubles attached to them, can't they? I was watching the Beverly Hillbillies. You remember that old show? I was watching a rerun of that recently, and there was Jed Clampett, oil tycoon of the East or the West, and he was having a press conference with the oil tycoon, a sheik from the Arab area. This guy had 250 wives. And then he asked Jed Clampett, "How many do you have?" He says, "I don't have any wife." "Not one wife?" And then the reporter asked Jed Clampett, "What do you think of the sheik having 250 wives?" And Jed Clampett goes, "Woo, doggy. I guess a expect with a fella had that many wives, he can expect to come home and find at least one of them in a good mood. Marriages can have a lot of problems in our day, and that goes both ways, men and women. You know, the data supposedly is that 1 in 2 marriages today end in divorce. And there's an old saying, women, you can't live with them, you can't live without them. Don't say shoot them. That, you'd think, would be a new saying, but actually, Luther says this 500 years ago. It is a great thing if a man can love a girl always, for the devil rarely permits it. When they are apart, a man cannot bear it. When they are together, they are wont to say, I can live neither with you nor without you. So think of how old this saying is. Probably goes back to Adam and Eve. I don't know. Goes back a long way. So marriages can have a lot of trouble attached to them. And why is there trouble in marriages? Because there's two sinners that are coming together to live their lives together as one. And whenever we have frail human creatures, especially with sin natures in our flesh, there's going to be some friction when they try to live together. And that's trouble for every marriage. There's the sin between people, and there's also the devil's attack. As we read here a moment ago, the devil rarely permits these things to go well. In fact, if it were up to him, he would destroy every marriage. And even Christian marriages can have some difficulties, wouldn't you say? I've told this story before. I remember when I was a captain up in Maine on a little schooner, and I was taking out guests, and I had some Christians that were going to get married. They were engaged, and they said, oh, you're a captain on a schooner in Maine, and you're a Christian. Do you have any advice for us young people, Christians about to get married? I said, sure. I said, you know, when lightning strikes through the sky, it separates the air molecules. And when those molecules come back together, that's the rumble, that's the thunder. And I said, the first year of marriage is like that. There's a lot of rumble and there's a lot of thunder and friction and trouble as the two lives are coming together. But if you can just get past that first year, just the first year, after that, smooth sailing. And I said, wow, that is really great advice, Captain. And how long have you been married? I said, almost a year now. True, I said that. But even amongst Christians, there's a lot of difficulties and troubles with marriage. But mark what we read there a moment ago in the gospel lesson. Jesus, even in a sinful world, blessed amazingly the wedding at Cana in Galilee. He turned the water into wine and blessed it with his presence. God is still in love with marriage. It's still the way for the family. It's still the way for husbands and wives to come together for blessing, for family, and for every joy, and for every stability in the world. So let's consider now, what are the ingredients that God has for us about a happy marriage, that it go great? And these are some of the things I shared in my little sermonette at Naomi and Jack's wedding last week. A little more expanded, though, for you. But the first thing is that, and the first prayer and blessing I wished upon them and prayed over them was that Christ would be first in each of their hearts, that their marriage be founded upon Jesus Christ and his word. Now, any marriage that starts that way and lives that way is going to be blessed, because Jesus, wherever he goes, blesses. And I shared with them the story of three cords. You ever hear of that? Let's read that first in Ecclesiastes. We read this. It says in verse 9 and following, 2 are better than 1, for they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. Frankly, I learned that yesterday. Beth lifted me up when I hurt my back. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, 2 will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So what is a marriage? Marriage is 2 people becoming 1 for strength to prevail against any that comes against them, like a strong house. And Jesus says, build your house upon the solid rock of the foundation of my word, and when storms come against it, and wind and rain and tempest, it shall not fall, for it was built upon the rock. So I was praying that they would be built upon Jesus Christ. But notice it says here that a threefold cord is not quickly broken, right? The way that was actually Beth's and my theme for our wedding was, here's a threefold cord. So you have rope. This is from my dad's boat, actually, up in Cape Cod. And there's three strands to it. One, two, and three. Now, if there were only two strands in a rope, what happens when great stresses come upon it, especially in a big ship? It'll part because the two cannot withstand. But if you weave these three together, you can do it like this. Just weave it a little bit to the right, weave a little to the right, and put it together. You can make a line that will never fail, that'll hold through storms and every other thing, because it's a threefold cord which is not quickly broken. Now, who is the third or the first strand of the threefold cord? That's Jesus Christ. So picture him in your marriages. He's number one in your hearts. Here's the husband, here's the wife, all woven together. That is a cord that I could put my full weight on. It's never going anywhere because Christ holds it together. And so what we want to do as Christians is make sure Christ stays first in your hearts. Now, if you're married to someone who's not a Christian, let Christ be first in your hearts and bless your spouse that way. But if the two together are putting Christ first in their hearts, and Ian knows this one, right? Look at this. God is at the top. Here's the man, here's the woman. What happens when you get married? You're all together. But as the husband grows up in Christ and the wife grows up in Christ, what's happening to this triangle? It's getting smaller and smaller. Namely, the husband and the wife are coming closer and closer as they grow in Christ through the years until eventually it's so close it's basically everything is made one right here at the top. You know, when a husband puts Christ first and a wife puts Christ first, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. So if the husband's growing into Christ's image, the wife is growing into Christ's image, what is coming up in their hearts? The fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when those things grow, man, it gets better and better by the year, like wine. One in two end in a divorce, says the data. But if the husband and wife go to church together, one in 80. If they go and read to church and read the Bible together, one in 500. If they go to church together, pray together, read the Bible together, serve as a team together, I will tell you, 100%. There's never been a Christian marriage in the history of the world that has ever failed. Between two Christians, there have been marriages that have failed, right? But when both put Christ first, it's never failed, for it can't fail, because you're growing into love, like Christ. So that's number one, is the rope. Keep Christ first in your heart. Secondly, I prayed and wished upon them, was that this would fill their marriage. What's that picture of? A heart, right? So love. The Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 14, and above everything else, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It puts everything together in perfect harmony because let's read about love, what it is like. It says this: love is patient and kind. Love isn't jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So putting on love will bind the two together in perfect harmony. That would be lovely. But what is love? You know, the world says, yeah, we get married for love too. And I love love because I feel great. I receive someone who really loves me, who appreciates me, who gives me pleasures. I receive much through this love. That's usually how it is, right? I'm in love. It means I'm receiving great things. But for a Christian, to put love into your marriage means to give. It's you also receive in love, of course, but it's especially about giving. Put that into your marriage. I prayed for Jack and Naomi that you lay down your lives for each other. to help each other, to become all the people that God has created each of you to be. For God so loved the world, loved, that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So in the kingdom of God, of which marriage is to be a symbol and an emblem, loving is giving to the other person, giving even your very life. Like Zuleika, lay down your life for Bill. Bill, lay down your life for Zuleika. Help each other to be all the person that God has made each of you to be. If you do that in marriage, you're golden, frankly. For Christ, the husband of the church, loved his bride and gave, say the word gave, gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, to make the church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, without blemish. So, in Christian marriage, give. Now, it's easy to forget to do that. So what I'd suggest to you is maybe even write some ideas down. How can I bless my spouse? And challenge yourself. Hey, I'll do one thing a day to give to my spouse, to bless and to let her know that she's loved, and a wife to know that her husband is respected. I've been trying to do that with Beth. I fail at times, of course, as we all do. But, you know, I've written down some things like get her coffee in the morning, give her a back rub that's unasked for, set up her toothbrush, make her bed. I bring her flowers occasionally from Walmart. Yeah, from Walmart, but I do my best. Recently, actually, we've had three weddings this year. At least we have Naomi and Jack. We've got Faith and Francisco. And at first, wedding plans were kind of up in the air, and we didn't even know if we were going to be getting wedding dresses. It was going so fast. And Beth was like, oh, I'm not going to go shopping for wedding dresses. I've always wanted to shop wedding dresses with my daughters, and I might not get to do that. And I said, at the moment it came to me, I said, you know what, honey? If they don't get wedding dresses, guess what? Our 25th wedding anniversary is coming up. Will you marry me again? And you can get a wedding dress, and we'll have our own wedding. You think that scored a few points? And then we ended up getting two other wedding dresses, so now I'm going to be buying three wedding dresses. But Beth is a super bargain shopper, so don't worry, we're doing great. But no, if we're writing something down and saying, how can I do this intentionally, not just floating through life, but saying, how can I intentionally bless this person I'm living with? Well, richly, then you can be intentional about it and find the opportunity when it comes. So try that this week. You will be blessed. For above all these things, says Paul, put on love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So that's number two. Number three, I prayed and blessed Naomi and Jack with this one as my fatherly wish, is that God would fill their relationship with grace. I had this little dove here. That the Holy Spirit would come in and they'd practice the same grace with each other each day that God has first given to us. Namely, to forgive each other every night. And you guys know this, that's a heritage in our family that Beth and I have had. That every night in our family, before we go to bed, we sit on the bed together and say, after our prayers, Beth, would you forgive me all my sins against you of this day? Yes, Greg, I forgive you. And Greg, would you forgive me all the sins I've committed against you this day? And I say, yes, Beth, I forgive you. And we all go around doing that, the children too. And then we put our hands together and say one more time, God, please forgive us again in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And then we give each other a physical kiss to kind of seal that covenant once again. And that has been such a super blessing for us. I commend it to all of you. Because sin is going to happen in a marriage, right? What happens? The devil's looking for inroads. Here's the husband. Here's the wife. Should be together. What happens when we sin? It splits the two apart. Pretty soon, the guy's looking out the window. The girl's like, look at me when I'm talking to you. No, okay. Yeah, actually, it does happen, doesn't it? But you're separate. There's a distance that occurs, and you start to feel cold. And if that sin is not reconciled through forgiveness, it just grows and grows and grows. I will take you on a cruise. Not good enough. How about flowers? Not good enough. You know, none of those things are good enough. The only thing that brings together two sinners is grace, forgiving each other. And we're supposed to forgive each other. It says in Colossians 3:13, as the Lord has first forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Even the word must is in there. It's incumbent upon us. It's commanded of us. Forgive each other your trespasses and be healed. And I'll tell you, if you will do that every night in your marriage, you will never have an ultimate problem, because the devil's looking for sin to split you apart. Grace and forgiveness is the antidote to that and brings you back together, cancels the sin, and it makes for a blessed marriage. And it also makes it so that you don't sin against each other so much anymore. Why do you sin against each other the next day? Because you didn't resolve that the night before. And then resentment builds in your heart. A root of bitterness springs up in the garden of your marriage. And the next day, even when you try not to do it, you cut each other with words because bitterness has grown up. Forgiveness is like weeding the garden every night, pulling out the roots, bringing it back together, reestablishing, reaffirming, re-strengthening, refreshing the covenant that you have in marriage. And pretty soon you don't hurt each other anymore because the bitterness is gone and it just builds on love. So Jack and Naomi, Faith and Francisco, all of you, Beth and Greg, let's do this every night. Amen. Will you do it? Forgive each other every night before you go to bed, and then seal it with a physical kiss. So, will you do that? I love it. Crickets. Crickets, I hear. That's all I'm hearing is crickets. I've preached to them for 7 minutes. I'm going to preach to you for 70. I'll go until you say yes. Okay, so at any rate, you've got to put that into your marriage. You've got to do it. Satan can't handle that one, and love builds up. And then the last one, number four, I prayed over them, was that they would, in their marriage, really live like an arrow in freedom. So say the word freedom, at least.
Freedom.
All right, very good. Because how is a married couple to live in freedom as Christians? Number one, it's the gospel. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand fast, therefore. Don't submit again to the yoke of slavery, to sin and the law. And you're not under law, but under grace. So the way God wants a married couple to go through the world is like an arrow, just flying free through the air. Arrows are not made for the earth to grovel down there. They're made to be free. Know that you're living in freedom each day in Jesus Christ. God being your friend through the blood of our Savior who died for you and saving you. And then also to be like in the freedom of an arrow, and that you remember that as a couple, you're just passing through this world. Don't get too troubled by the dirt on the ground that is occurring in our days or in just the trouble that comes into our lives. For Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. As a married couple, laugh. Consider the world's troubles light. Don't let them get into your lives too much, because when it comes down to it, we're all just passing through this world as Christians. This is not our home. We are journeying heavenward and skyward like an arrow. And so I prayed upon Jack and Naomi to fill their lives with laughter, with the love and freedom of the gospel, and press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, and that with light and joyful hearts. The final word I'll have for you then today is that Christ is the husband of his bride, the church. And he's done all these things for us already to us personally. When it comes to the first strand, he put God first. Not my will, but thine be done. I go to the cross, Lord, to fill the marriage with love, which is over under here, because he gave his life for his bride to set us free, to fill us with the depth of his love. Thirdly, daily he forgives us. He seals the covenant that we have with him, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every day he says, I forgive you richly and daily all of your sins through the blood of my covenant. And I give you and bestow upon you freedom. I want you to walk with me through this life in the joy of the freedom that I've given to you in my gospel. And so my blessings upon all of you, God's blessings upon you, and your marriages to be strong, to be holy, to be blessed, to be grace-filled, to be full of love, to be full of Christ. And know this, Isaiah 62, God says this to you, and this is how he feels about you. He says, as the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so the Lord your God rejoices over you. God, the Lord, says, I rejoice over you. Take that and live in the joy of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Ingredients for a Blessed Christian Marriage, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. God bless you.